just discuss, other than keep you here all the time, but expect you to perform when you are imprisoned by our committee work. So can we members agree that at 11 we are finishing, and then we release them to go in on with their work, and then we move to other business. So the 12:10 meeting will not take place. We will use the time for other things. Is that fine, honourable members? Okay. National Commission, we are handing the floor to yourselves to do the briefings. And I think as Parliament, we would have to find ways of saving your time and costs, because coming here all the time may also be contributing to delaying the changes that you want to bring about, delivering the services that we all expect you to deliver. So we'll have to look at that matter ourselves. I don't want to also raise things from the press, because I don't necessarily agree with what is in the press. You see, I think that came from SCOPA about the tender and so on and so on. Maybe at some appropriate time, it would be important to take us on board so that we don't hear things from the street. But for now, the agenda is here as to what we are here to do. Thank you.
We are really inconvenienced. Some of us are really in this now. Are we going to do justice to it? Can't we be given time to go over it? Because we got it now, unlike the SECS one, which was emailed to us.
No, actually, good morning. The problem is from the department or the ministry's side. As I said, I don't believe because of the document. They only brought to the meeting this morning by Department of Justice officials.
Commissioner, tell us why was the problem.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee. Yes, there was a problem in the provisioning of the document. It was provided to the PLO on Monday, but according to our own standards, it has to be provided to her 7 days before. And in this case, we only got to finalize it on Monday, Chairperson. And our apology really for that mishap. Chairperson and honorable members, no, it was not a question of capacity. We wanted to include in the package the departmental macro structure that we think the committee wanted to have a look at. And unfortunately, Chairperson, because the macro structure is in the ministry, Deputy Minister Makweta and Minister Masuta, we could not get hold of that version. And as a result, we got delayed ourselves. And that's why I'm saying, in terms of our own standard and arrangement with the committee and your secretariat, we were only able to come with it yesterday and read our own copies. And I must have fun say, Chairperson, that is something that will never happen again. I'm sorry about that.
We should accept that it will not happen again, because if you depend on your political heads and they don't do their work, you don't have the means to force them to do their work. Honorable members, it's clear that what has happened is not right. We get the document on Monday, which would have been submitted 7 days before, but the reasons are very understandable. The officials can't complete the work unless the politicians give them information. So we can't sit here and blame them for the delay and even ask them to commit that it won't happen again. We have to engage with the politicians to say they have to do their part of the work, and I think that's where we are. And we accept that explanation, and we can attribute the delay to you. Honorable members, any comment? Can we move on that basis? Yeah, I will make sure that I communicate with the minister that this is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. National Commissioner, I think we are ready to give you lend you our ears.
Honourable Chairperson and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to come here and address you on the issues that requested us to provide some background to. And as I said, Chairperson, we had provided the structure and that hope that it would be approved, so that once we come here, we come with an approved structure. Chairperson would remember that in the last engagement with the Auditor General that we had, it was indicated to us that because of the regional setup that we have, the combined regions are problematic. We also have realized that in terms of delegation of power and devolution, the combined region were a challenge. And we had then, as a department, worked on a structure that needed to be approved. We will, once we have an approved structure, provide that to the chairperson and the committee, so that you are also able to look at it and make critique where it would be possible. That structure, chairperson, at macro level, we have provided to the Ministry of Approval, and we are concluding the micro part of it, where we are now putting positions where which will then be meant by warm bodies, so that we are able to deliver on the legislative prescripts of the department, which is to provide a proper treatment system, but also to ensure that those that are in our care do receive and attend programs that would lead to their skilling and rehabilitation. I just wanted to give that perspective, Chairperson, that work is about to be concluded, and as I have earlier said, that once it is approved and signed off by Minister Masuta, we shall then provide yourselves. We, however, have a presentation that we would like to give to members, and Mr. Emmanuel Khoza, who is the Chief Director responsible for Human Resources, will then take us through the presentation that we have prepared for the committee, Chairperson.
Chairperson and the committee members, colleagues, good morning. Chairperson, we will give you the following information as outlined in our presentation. The implementation of an appropriate chief system that caters for certain level demands, the filling of vacancies at all levels, and the development of an effective recruitment and retention strategy, progress made with regard to the increasing the DCS establishment. With regard to the shift system, we had developed or embarked on the service establishment since 1 July 2009. This one also was effected through the resolution of the DBZ Resolution 2 of 2009 that was signed, which requires that the people at the center level should be able to go and perform duties for 45 hours and 40 hours per week, which we implemented by then. Upon the implementation, we were challenged for the implementation of shifts because one of the instructions or the resolutions was that the shifts should be implemented in all centers. So other centers we were unhappy with the implementation. Then we had the court battle with labor, where the matter was referred to the labor court, and the labor court decided that we should be able to continue with what was signed in the resolution, and from there, no shift should be amended up until us and labor should find each other. So we consulted with labor, we discussed with labor, we came up with various proposals of shifts up until we agreed on a shift called 10x4, which requires you to perform your duties 12 hours per day, which would allow you to work for 10 consecutive days and get 10 off days for 4 days. So and in terms of these ones, the labor was happy with that, so we made a proposal, but what we picked up is that it is more or less the same as the situation where we are, that is very costly and it requires additional staff, and either absence of additional staff is not effectively utilized. You always run shortage of staff daily. So we made a proposal with regard to that, and then we submitted that to the commissioner. Thereafter, upon realizing that even though it is not easily finalized, we realized that we can't be able to implement now with the shortage of that particular staff, because you have four divisions of staff. For instance, if you have 50, you have got to divide that into four, and that gives you a very thin skeleton of staff. So upon that, the National Commissioner issued an instruction that we should revert back to the old shift system. We went back to labor and made that proposal. The old shift system, it was a shift system that requires us to work 8 hours, from 8 o'clock in the morning up until 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock up until 12, 12 up until 8 o'clock in the morning, which will not require much additional staff. But looking at the fact that people are already used to that time off that they are enjoying now, they are not in agreement with that. So labor said that we consulted with them at the DBZ meeting. They said that they're still consulting their principals. They come back to us. So still waiting for them to revert back to us. So what the principals guiding the appropriate system, the intention of that the 7-day shift system was to look at the provision of the structured day program, ensuring that we also comply to the basic condition of employment. We also look at the adequate the human resource. We also look at the previous system, and we also look at the reduction of the high cost of overtime that the department has been incurring throughout. And also we're looking at the work balance, the promotion of work-life balance of officials, where we're seeing that we try to take the employee health awareness, enhancement of security for members and inmates and stakeholders, compliance to work paper in collections and other mandates. So with that, we're seeing that we can able to enhance the efficiency and the service delivery. The principles of the staffing the center for the shift system, we have developed the staffing ratios that will support the Consular Services Act of Act 111 of 1998, the white paper on corrections, as well as the Resolution 2 of 2009. It needs to be supported by the regional business plan that determines the following. We look at the crime ratios of the region area as well as the center, number of inmates per region, minimum security standards, U.S. standard minimum rules for treatment of inmates. The type of facilities and method of the surveillance and regions, regions, management areas and centers. So the list as provided there, so for the purpose of the above mentioned ones are very critical ones.
That is what we are expected to continue to enhance security and ensure that their offenders are rehabilitated and ensure that all South Africans feel and are safe. In terms of our vacancy rate, the illustration that is provided is that in 2013-2014 we were on 5.4% vacancy rate, and 2014-2015 we were on 2.6% vacancy rate, and 2015-2016 we are at 8.5%. So the prescribed norm from DPSA is that we should be able to be within the 10% vacancy rate. So in our case, we still have beyond the 10%. The next slide will illustrate where we are struggling, where we are having those serious impacts of the vacancies. The presentation illustrates that out of 42,006 post-establishment, the position that we filled are 38,452. So out of that, we have got 3,454, which is the vacant positions, which gives us the 8.5 vacancy. So our pressure points are at professionalness, which we have 118, and we have educationists at 110. Then the serious one comes from the custodian and support and security officials, which gives us about 3,109. So the first two that are listed, the 110 and 180, during the presentation I can able to indicate to, in fact the three, two can able to indicate to the committee how are we going to be able to seize or address that particular pressure. One of the elements that are dealing or that are impacting negatively on our high vacancy rate is the service terminations. The service terminations that are broken down into various categories. We have a vacancy rate, we have a service termination in the resignations that talks to voluntary termination services. We have people that goes on retirement, we have people that goes on ill health retirement, and we have people that we are dismissing after disciplinary hearings. And we have people that passes on. So the illustration shows that for the current financial year, from the 1st of April 2015 up until January 2016, we have about between 110 and 188 terminations per month nationally, which is for us it's a very serious in the fact that in the sense that previously there was not happening like that. The next slide talks to the service terminations per salary levels, so that we can able to identify where our challenges are. The challenges at this point in time are seriously on a resignation followed by retirements. And on the presentation, the illustrations tells us that we have a challenge between the salary level 5 and level 8. Where most of the people are voluntarily resigning, and some of them they go on retirement between salary level 6 and 8, and the dismissals are also impacting on that. So that is how we are bleeding in terms of the regulations. So if you can look at the level 9 and 10 also who are resigning also, they go also with the age, and among the resignations that are illustrated, most of the reasons of resignations, you find that most of the resignations, they are saying they go for better remuneration, and some of them they say that they go for career development. And the bulk of that is also on resignation. The next slide talks to the termination per occupational class. As I earlier on illustrated, it is evident that we have people that are doing custodial duties that are resigning in numbers. On our presentation, if you can look at the custodian personnel, we have about 82 people that has resigned.
and we have the people that does administrative work, that is between head office and the regional office. We talking about the people that also work in the center, the CMCs and EAPs that also resigns. If you can look at the other administrative policy and related matters, it's about 101 people. Professional nurses, we have about 28. Security officers, we have about 398 that has resigned. Then we have about security officers, about 154, and custodian 30, custodian 30 officials that have retired. So that gives us a total of 1,355 officials that have resigned. Our challenge here is that we're trying very hard to fill positions, and it's just good as you fill a bucket that has got holes. You fill positions and people are terminating, and some of them we try to put interventions in place. Then when they resign, we always want to intervene and hear from them, why do you want to resign? And some of them we managed to get able to retain them. Some of them they were using the pension reform as reason to resign. And we tried to explain. Some accepted our response, our motivation. They still some they decided to go. The next slide talks to the intervention that we came up with that we can able to address the third aspect that I mentioned earlier, that we are going to be able to close those gaps of the nurses, of the people in finance, by this, we embarked, we rolled out the operation here, which was the project that we have undergone through all other regions, where we advertised on the newspaper and we invited people to bring their CVs personally, and we can able to also talk to them at the very same spot. So with the process of the operation here, we were able to source out 18,371 CVs, whereby we had them made sure that the 1,224 were shortlisted and interviewed. And at this point in time, I can confirm that we had the appointments starting from, we embarked on the process between the month of November, late November and December. And the interviews started taking place in January, and the appointments started taking place in the 1st of February. And others will go on through the 1st of March. So if you can look at Western Cape, we started in Western Cape, hence they have got 765. So the others, they have not yet met that particular target. So we only have cases that has not yet finalized the appointments, but they already have interviewed, the memorandums have been approved. So the assumption of duties in most of them candidates will be the 1st of March. So with this operation here, we can indicate that the purpose of that was also to make sure that we have a database so that when a person leaves the employment today, tomorrow we can be able to find another person we can be able to replace. I will also repeat that when I'm going to inform the committee about the proposed current strategies. So the department has adopted a number of strategies to improve the overall vacancy rate, also by facilitating the filling of vacancies to enhance the habilitation process within the department. We had identified the leadership as an instrument to address the recruitment challenges. So we had 906 learners with which we absorbed, which were competent to be able to occupy their vacancies. We also had two learnership groups that have been processed with a total of 2,043 candidate recruiters, and that are currently being trained, and we will still await for them to be certified competent. A third leadership group of 1,032 learners is envisaged to commence on 27 March 2016. Why 1,032? Our capacity for training colleges can only accommodate 1,032 learners in both colleges. The one that I was talking to is that the department has in November, December rolled out the job fair operation here in various regions, and the intention of the operation here was to accept the filling of vacant posts in the scarce and critical skills. So the intention there is to establish a database of applicants that can be able to assume duties as I indicated earlier on. as we continue with the proposed turnaround strategy, which is from 1st of April, the department will adopt a recruitment plan which will provide a strict deadline for the filling of posts. We also realize that we had to have a retirement plan that has been developed, which can able to address the issue of the retirement. People are hiring, which was able to get people that can able to occupy those vacancies. Response handling has also been identified as a challenge, and capacity is being strengthened to ensure that the advertisement posts are consisted immediately within a matter of the address. So in here, we also make sure that we have capacity to be able to deal with the applications that we receive, rather than going to a service provider that will do the response handling for us. So we had appointed the additional data capturers to be able to assist the capturing. And also we put mechanisms in place that as and when services are submitted, the cross list is captured immediately so that it should not take place. By the end of the advert, most of the cross list should be captured. The only difference is where the applications you will have to receive massive applications like the clerks. When you advertise positions for clerks, you normally get about 1,000, 2,000 applications. That makes it impossible to finalize the cross list. But the other positions, we can able to deal with them as quick as possible. The progress made with regard to the development of organizational structure is indicated by the National Commissioner earlier on. During the previous administration, the department revised the implementation of the network structure, which resulted in the deployment of the senior managers, executive managers in the department. Then the current administration also took the decision to review the micro structure, which had, as you are well aware, that we have only 6 regions which does not talk to the political demarcations of 9 provinces. So we are currently trying to align that to the various provinces. We have regions that are combined, which is the LMN, the Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, and we have the Free State, the Northern Cape, which is one region. So we are going to see if we have a possibility to speed that to the necessary provinces. The micro structure is completed and is currently under consideration by the minister. We have developed the organizational structure. At this stage, we already exhausted the process of consultation with all stakeholders within the department, labor organizations, members, various managers. And the process of developing the post establishment, which is aligned to the functional structure, is currently underway. So we shall also, after the finalization of the structure, consult the Minister of Public Service Administration for concurrence before the implementation. That's all, Chairperson.
There is a report. National Commissioner.
Yes, sir. Thank you once more for the opportunity. I think the presentation is taking the committee through various stages of development and implementation in the department, and as far as it takes us from where we have been, where we are, and where we want to be, especially with regard to the interventions that the committee over a period of time have also requested us to put in place. Committee members should remember that Chairperson, we had a 5-day establishment over weekend, Saturday and Sunday, officials were earning overtime. And as a result of that, and the fact that it was not a correct way of doing business, it was not sustainable, the department then took a decision to do away with overtime and hence the 7 establishment, which then renders your Saturday and Sundays as normal working days. We are in the process of completely doing away with overtime. The only overtime that we pay, it is in abnormal circumstances where the security of an institution at a given time is threatened, and then we deploy officials to do that. But what is important as well was to have a shift pattern that would enable the department to implement the interventions that the new Act of Correctional Services wanted us to do, in particular the white paper on corrections, as well as the white paper on remand. And those interventions, as they are listed there on page 3, talks to a structured day program. And with that, we're trying to say, starting from the morning after unlock, because most of the unlock happens at 7 o'clock, up until lock up at 6 o'clock in the evening, what are offenders doing? One of the things that we wanted to do away was this phenomenon that is in our facilities where offenders just wake up and eat and come and sleep again. So we wanted to, with this intervention, to put programs in place starting from unlock up until lock up in the evening. That's why we then had to look at the appropriate shift pattern and what would then be the staff needs of that shift pattern. But I think also important, Chairperson, because it has also been part of the Act 111 of 1998, was to ensure that we have a treatment system with the appropriate intervals between your breakfast and your lunch and your lunch and your dinner. And then after that, then your dinner and breakfast. In terms of Section 8.5 of the Act, we have to ensure that there's compliance to that. But also important, the person was to also say, what do we say about the security of officials? Because it was an area where officials and labor had come out strongly to say that the safety and security of staff is not ensured. And therefore, you need to come up with a shift head that will address all of that. For our chairperson, this transition is going to be crucial, and therefore we would need also the support of the committee so as to ensure that as we finalize this organizational structure, it confidently talks to the interventions that yourselves as members of parliament and legislators are able to see the differences that we want to bring back. Now, on top of the chairperson of that challenge, we also have these service terminations, which are impacting very badly on our civil delivery endeavors. And chairperson, the fact of the matter is we've got quite a lot of aging staff, mostly in the ages 50, between 50 and 60. And whenever there are these announcements that are made that sometimes causes them to have concerns, they then jump to the wagon and say, but it is better for me then to take my little package and go home. Ourselves, DPSA, have been engaging staff during meetings. We have sent out placards to say the amendments to the pensions do not affect us in any way because chairperson and members, in our case as public servants, once you retire, you would get what is due to you, and then the other would be paid as a monthly stipend. So we currently very much engaged with staff to try and allay their fears. However, chairperson, the pinch is really at our custodial staff and professionals. Last time when I was with the committee, indicated that the environment under which we work, chairperson and members, is such that it demands of your staff to be able to cope themselves and be able to deal with the kind of challenges that from time to time happen in our facilities. I'm sure members have taken note of the various security challenges where officials themselves are attacked by offenders, where gangs are very much prevalent in our facilities, and that as a result, that results in a number of officials then taking the easier route to terminate their services and look for work elsewhere. The HERA project and the turnaround strategy, chairperson and members, is aimed at increasing the staff of the department and ensuring that that vacancy of 3,500 bodies that are needed, we are able to confidently fill. But also, what is important for us is to critically look at our retention strategy to ensure that those that are working for correctional services are able also to find joy in their employment. So, talking to the turnaround, we also need a retention strategy to ensure that our members stay with us. I would like to check and also indicate that the environment is becoming more violent by the day. Members should be able to see that more violent crimes have been committed in our country. And that impact as well on the the ratio of staff and an offender, because the more violent your offenders become, the more staff you would then need, because you then have to increase your maximum correctional facilities. And that is why you'll find that almost at each and every management area, there has to be a maximum correctional facility to deal with the violent nature of crimes that are committed in our country. But also important, the shepherd, and those that are drug and substance abuse related. Now, at the end, shepherd, I would just like to indicate that we are also looking at how we transform our facilities and our establishment to ensure that we give particular attention to the different categories of offenders that are illustrated in our white paper on correction, especially the youth. They have to have facilities that would cater for that, but important as well the staff and female, the elderly, and other categories of offenders. So all in all, chairperson and members of the committee, it requires of us to be upfront with all these endeavors to ensure that the Department of Correctional Services is able to deliver on its mandate as enunciated in the Purple One of 1998, but also as part of the National Development Plan in as far as our country is concerned. Chairperson, that is, in short, the summary of this presentation that we have done this morning to serve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner and other members. And I really appreciate your endeavors. I just wanted to send clarification, though. I think it's a good thing. I only hope, one, that it addresses some of the concerns which I had, area which is half of the staff not being at work at a particular time, which gives more risks to the. Maybe I didn't catch that. Maybe does that. The shift system which was introduced, which made people half of the staff will be out of work. Will not be working at each particular time. It's half of the staff that are on duty. The other one is the you have already started on the question of the reason for retirement, some of the reason for retirement. There is a saying in my language that you ukhokhele umsila wako. You are leading your own tail. There could be some also other reasons that which you need to check if there's anything that we as management are doing correctly or incorrectly that other people feel that they would rather die. In other words, your reason for resignation must be very clear. You may think that this is the thing and that is the other one. Before I get to the effect of that, you have got your recruitment. I just want to find out what is the criteria for your recruitment. For example, do you need a standard band? Do you say you must have a staff band certificate? One wonders what really do you need in correctional service for a standard band? Do you really need a standard band to have that in your recruitment? Maybe you're cutting off a lot of people which you don't really need to do. What exactly do you need in that? The other one is very, very controversial. There was a complaint from, I think I overheard, was it, one of the people who was an ex-convict, was saying, you see, the correctional services, they've got double standards, you know? They say
that their duty is to make sure that we are ready to be accepted by the community, and then they can accept us, and then they actually assist us to look for jobs, but they don't employ us.
They don't employ us convicts. And yet they say other people must employ us.
I'll want your comment on that. The other work I have is the effect, the impact it has on the your being Correctional Services Department, not PRIL. If they are no psychologists, if they are no social workers, and to a very great extent, if they are no nurses, have you not considered perhaps trying to find out that some of the reasons for resignation, particularly with the professionals, is the salaries, that maybe they are not necessarily competitive? And is there no way of trying to adjust that? There is something that is always worrying me, the center base and non-center base. I thought that even the commissioner can stand there and be innocent and go and check and not to be. In other words, I would think that every member of the correctional service is able to do any work within the correctional service. Of course, with the exception of professors like doctors and so on. Now, why do you have that? Is it necessary, or is it just traditional? I think lastly, is the question of how I also did that, one of the most important and urgent things in our centers is to have cameras in each and every cell, which will reduce criminal activities and kickstart them in the cell. How far are you in that? Don't you think that is a priority? Won't it assist then in having less members of staff in there? That's about the thing.
Questions. Honorable Hall.
Thank you, yes, Chair. I'm also on vacancy rate and the recruitment plan, and I think what's also called their response now to the failure. But I think in fairness to the committee, they're looking at the presentation on page 10. I think we also need to be enlightened as to why, if there was 322 shortlisted candidates in Gauteng for 130 positions, the department were only able to make 33 out of the 130 appointments. And then also as to why in KwaZulu-Natal there was no appointment made despite being 165 people being shortlisted. And Chair, I think this goes to obviously the functionality of the department, but also to an extent we all know about the unemployment rate in our country, and then you sit with a situation where the department is not filling vacancies that, as a matter of fact, are funded positions, and I must say, we as a committee, I think, must say this is unacceptable. I heard and I see what they intend doing going forward, but also on the one hand, while maybe the oversight from management's part on the recruitment processes is to be welcomed, to my mind also still lacks in this recruitment plan is consequences for senior management in the different regions if nothing happens in time to ensure appointments being made. So I would like to have some comments regarding whether there is in this recruitment plan also consequence management in that regard. Thank you.
On any other? Honorable Maila.
No, thank you very much, Chair. And thanks, Commissioner and the team, for
the presentation that we made. I wanted to check on the issue of learnerships. What programs are being undertaken in those learnerships? Will the learners produced from those programs be able to be absorbed into the department going forward? I know that when you undergo learnerships, it is not a guarantee that one will be appointed. But I wanted to check if those learners will also form part of your database on people who could be recruited in the future. On the issue of service termination, resignations and dismissals, I wanted to check in terms of various regions whether it's just equally across regions or whether there are certain regions where this situation is prevalent. And well, I heard you were able to interview some as to why they resign, and you have reasons there and there. The other issue is this problem of the combined regions. So I think I support the fact that if maybe regions could be separated into various areas, because you know, if you look at the LNM region, it's just unmanageable. But despite various concerns which are being raised, I think it's encouraging because, Commissioner, you seem to be the skipper who has made analysis, a proper analysis of the situation. And I personally would support you in what you want to support you on trying to make the situation going forward. And thanks very much, Jefferson.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks, Commissioner, for the presentation. I think just like the Honorable Mayor, I say that the light at the end of the tunnel. My worry would be I want to know the implications of this 10x4. And what will be the applicable legislation around, and exactly what is the response of the stakeholders. And you can share with the committee the challenges around employees that are employed in terms of the Public Service Act and those employees that are employed in terms of the Correctional Service Act. What are those challenges? What are the bottlenecks, and how do you plan to deal with that? Because from the presentation, I'm also picking up that there are some challenges around it. The vacancy, okay, before vacancy, over time, I think we need to share with the committee the extent to which it is. Because over time, by its nature, it is not sometimes not even budgeted at all. So the extent to which it is eating up on the expenditure which was not planned for over time. The non-vacant rate, I think we need both the retainment strategy and the retirement strategy in this. Because I think we need to find out what is the problem. But again, what my worry would be that we are not moving with the speed of a mirage in terms of addressing this problem. Like Honorable Horn was saying, look at Gauteng, look at Limpopo, Mpumalanga and Northwest. We have a total applications of 3,600. 3669, but we needed to appoint about 20, but we appoint 16, and yet we say we have a problem with this. that follows with Hotel 2877. We're supposed to appoint 18, but we own 33. What may be the challenge of us having not to actually fulfill this one? And I see at page number 9, security officers, the total resolution of security officers. Maybe the extent to which you benchmark outsourcing and insourcing, because some of the services, they may be just causing problems unnecessary. If we to lose that number, that is. That number is a huge number, and it may be difficult to just recruit that big number within a short period of time. So the possibility will you gauge outsourcing vis-a-vis having to have these people in service. And the macro and the macro structure, the department, I think in the main is what the committee would have wished to see generally, because you would remember in the last financial year, this was the matter. It was a serious matter. But over and above that, our analysis was that some of the issues that caused this audit that are not well is because of this structure, which is just too big to be manageable. And you recall that after our interaction with the Auditor General was saying he is of the view that things will improve, but we need to move with the speed of a mirage in terms of taking decisions, because some of the things that cause problems that we are not taking decisions. And then the issue of security for members and stakeholders, I think is one matter that you may have to be quite very clear on what steps have you taken in terms of that particular matter. It was a very serious matter. If the staff would feel a bit insecure, then we'll be in trouble. Then lastly, the issue of professionals. I think we've raised this that in the previous time, that how about looking at signing memorandum of understandings with some of the institutions of higher learning. I think almost every province has an institution of higher learning. There are psychologists who are already doing their final years. They are nurses who are doing their final years, and social workers. So I think we need a program that would speak to that, but how to utilize those final years in terms of closing this gap going forward. I think I'll stop there for now, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Bongo. I think in terms of the shift system, my comment would be where you have actually started to look at what is best practice in terms of shift system, taking into consideration the kind of challenges that is actually put forward. Because when you look at hospitals, they also use shift system. And it looks like they have never really been in crisis in terms of using the shift system. Have you tried to look at how they work? It might sometimes be good to actually do a comparison of what they are doing with what we are doing, and maybe have what we can learn from them. You are actually also making mention of the Correctional Services Act 111 of 1998 when you make a reference to the system. I don't know whether the Public Service Act is not supposed to come into play also there, because you have staff that is employed under both acts. Even if it's actually said at some age, we need to look at the possibility of really utilizing just the one act in terms of appointment of staff, because of the kind of challenges also that the department is experiencing because of employment of staff through two different acts for the same service. I'm worried about the increasing vacancy rate between 2014 and 2016 from 5% to 8%. And I think that connects with Honorable Bungwe and Honorable Hong's comment around the number of posts, vacant posts that have been filled. And I think it's something that needs to be looked at. you probably also need to look at, if you look at, for example, level 8, you have too many dismissals on level 8, 65, and still on level 8, you have 2-1 resignations. Do you do exit interviews to know what is wrong with this level? Because if you are dismissing so many people in that level, and you have too many reservations in that level, it means there should be something that is a problem that we need to put our finger on to understand what is the problem. In order for us to make necessary interventions. So the question here I wanted to ask is whether you do exit interviews. And if you do exit interviews, do you really make a follow-up on what has been put as reasons for exiting the service for you to manage to actually understand where there are problems? I think you also need to submit at some stage to the committee, the human resource team, because we hear about all of these things that are in bits and pieces. And I don't know whether maybe at a different level you manage to do your play that actually guides human resources in general, so that we could look at within the plan issues of career passing, because we don't know the reason why people are coming in. We only understand the earlier ones that have been threatened by this new tax law that are resigning. Some of them, yeah, that they are resigning. They say they can rather go and enjoy their money at home because of the kind of condition that this has caused. But some of the exits and resignations, you don't understand the reasons for them. But then when you've got your solid plan, that solid plan will talk to all human resources issues. Starting from just employee well-being. Because I imagine your kind of work environment, it's not the nicest work environment to work in. And do you really consider your staff and the type of programs you have for staff in order to be sure that they are okay, mentally, physically, and otherwise? You need to look at career pathing. Sometimes people resign because they don't see themselves growing and advancing and developing the positions that they've been hired. You could look at skill assessment, because sometimes you can put somebody here, and this person is so highly skilled, and they feel underutilized. Or somebody is here, you've given them the job, but they just don't have enough skills and ability to do the job, and that creates a frustration. So those are the processes that you need to do, and also matching skills and the demands of the job. That will appear in your HR plan. The HR plan that must have with it also the performance management plan about contracts that people will sign in terms of the programs that you're going to be running that you want to actually at the end of the day be in the position to run successfully. So people are signing contracts to respond to those programs. At the end of the day, when things are not going right, whether it's about finances, CFO, you've got to have all of that, because now also what you're working towards is to really have to come out with an unqualified audit, finally. But have you got systems in place? And what I'm talking about is about a program that talks to issues of the nature. You know what you want to do to get qualified reports, but have you got those people in place? We want to have a plan like that, that you can share with us, to say this is the plan that we've got, and that actually would, I'm sure, help to quickly address all these challenges that you are talking about. My worry about the high vacancy rate is that it's actually going to lead to other spending when it comes to finances. And then you're going to find a situation where we haven't really utilized the money that has been allocated to us. It's a huge challenge if you don't appoint. Do you still have any further comments for the department can respond from the members? Okay, can we give the opportunity to the department?
Honourable Chairperson and members, thank you very much for affording us again the opportunity to respond to the issues that you have faced. The first question by Honourable Mpumlwana of there are instances where half of the staff is not at work. Chaplain and members, with the current 10 by 4 meaning that the officials would work 10 days and then 4 days off. There are 2 days that officials are not all at work. It is your Monday and your Thursday. In other words, our staff only are together Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And Monday and Friday, including the weekend, then it is one shift that is working. So what has happened is we have divided the staff into 2 streams. You have an A and a B. So as the A now goes for their off weekend, on a particular Monday, then they will, our shift will not be on it. They will only come back on Tuesday and work throughout until their 10 days are done. So that's how it happens, and it gives us a serious security challenge because it is predictable in the first place. So your offender population can easily plan for that, and it is not assisting us in terms of ensuring that offenders are able then to be taken through programs within the structured day program. That's why when we were addressing that, we mentioned the fact that in terms of the shift pattern that we are currently using, we are able to implement the interventions as outlined in the Act. And therefore, that is the reason why I decided with the team that the chairperson, we will then go back to the old shift pattern, which was saying from Monday to Friday, you then have all of your staff, and then they will, the other shift will then be off on Saturday and Sunday only. Now, the challenge here was, how do you calculate the 45 hours a week without having an averaged working agreement with labor? So we have taken this to the chamber, and there is significant work that has been done. Labor wants to have a principled understanding from correctional services, and it was that the 10 by 4, because it is ideal, it gives staff sufficient rest days, that the department agrees that we will have that in place, and that is what we have done. So as we speak now, Chairperson, it is almost, I think, a matter of time before we then sign on the dotted line with labor to say, for the meantime, up until we are not resourced sufficiently, we will have this shift that says you have then your day duty starting Monday to Friday, and then you'll also have your first watch that is from 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 12 o'clock in the evening, then you'll have another shift that then starts at 12 until 8. During that period of time, from 4 to 6 o'clock in the morning, you then have a minimum of your staff doing night duty, because all of your offenders will then be locked up in the cells. What is also going to be important for ourselves to ensure that we do that is to ensure that where we have admission facilities, we'll then roster our staff in such a manner that, because most of those admission facilities, offenders go to court, but there are other courts that come later during the day. So we'll have other officers starting in the morning at 5, working their full 8 hours, then another staff coming up, so that by the time all the courts are in, we do have sufficient staff to be able to deal with that. Chairperson, as a person who understands security, it is a security risk up until we have resolved the issue of the shift at the departmental bargaining chamber. The reason for retirement, Chairperson, as we have indicated, largely the misunderstanding of the amendments to the Pension Act. But I think also, Chairperson, the Honourable Member, as he has indicated, there are instances where some of our own staff do not want to work any longer for correctional services. But also, it has happened that other staff, as a result of the manner in which they have been treated, have then resigned. We're looking at that, Chairperson, and I can assure this committee that from the National Office in Pretoria, we are putting up a task team that is going to be going around the regions interviewing staff just to look at the levels of abuse in our facilities and the level of frustrations that staff encounter on a daily basis. There are staff members who have grievances that are unresolved for long periods of time, which I am attending to. And it is our resolve that once we have that task team having done all the work, we shall then be in a position to, when we go for our strategic planning session, we'll then have all of the information that we need. The Honourable Member asked what is the criteria for recruitment. Chairperson, for all our security staff, especially at entry level, the minimum requirement is to have a grade 12 certificate and also to be South African citizen. Now, that is the minimum. Now, as you progress or as the positions get filled, then that criteria can either be amended so that we are then in a position to attract those skills that we need. Now, that talks only to security staff. And also what is important with the security that we are looking at between 18 and 34. Those are the people that we would like to recruit. Now, the honorable member, I think, further question that was, for the other specific fields like finance, you need to have at least to be an accountant, then supply chain management, and as it goes on. So for all of those specialized fields, there are minimum requirements for recruitment. The honorable member also asked about ex-convict chairperson. The chairperson and members would remember that we had an engagement last year and again this year with the ex-offenders, looking at what are their challenges and what is it that as a department we can do. We had also been starting out to really look at where can we, if given the opportunity to employ ex-offenders, at which areas can we utilize them. I can safely say that, chairperson, the department right now are looking at how we can utilize ex-offenders, primarily at your halfway houses, but also at correctional facilities where they can also come and assist the integration of offenders, especially those that are having difficulty in reintegration in the facilities, but also when they're outside. We can say at this point as well, chairperson, that the Department of Correctional Services is one of those departments that even employ people who have criminal records. It depends on what is the record that person has. And we have, chairperson, because of the serious nature or for the insignificant offense that the person has done, we were then able to appoint such people. Chairperson, the effect on operational services on your specialized staff, professional staff, social workers, psychologists, and nurses, it is in that area that we really are struggling. And the department has then started to look at different alternatives that can be done. The human resource team is currently looking at maybe we need to come with an hour system where we source in psychologists to come and do an hourly job, and thereafter they can then leave and not necessarily have them in their employment. But importantly was to look at what is it that we are offering for these specialized skills. Our salary skills, chairperson, are the biggest challenge because we pay in accordance to the Department of Public Service and Administration. However, we also have looked into what are the provinces paying and try to empower them, because what they do most of the time, chairperson, they coach our own staff that we have just appointed and that we have trained, especially social workers and nurses. That's where we have this challenge. But we will also come to the committee with a better picture indicating what are the challenges of social workers, psychologists, and nurses. If you look at our presentation, we are indicating also that we are not retaining doctors, chairperson. The challenge of doctors, mainly salaries, and secondly, the working conditions. Chairperson, the category of offender that we have today is not the same as the category of offender that we used to have in the past. Our offenders are much learned, are much aware of their rights, and sometimes when the offenders are subjected to doctors inside the facility, they opt for doctors outside, and that's a challenge. And that needs us as a department to ensure that those that are appointed as doctors we are able to retain for longer periods. The honorable member talked about center-based and non-center-based. As a principal chairperson, I have taken a decision that we would like to do away with center-based and non-center-based at correctional center level and management area level. In other words, only officers that would work at the regional office and at the head office would be classified as non-center-based, but all of the others that are working at your center would then be classified as centralized, primarily to assist us when we have situations of security or where it is needed. What would then be important for us as a department going forward is to ensure that this center-based and non-center-based, as it is contained in our OSD, we then have to take back to the Minister of DPSA for him to consider, because it also had a financial implication. The Honourable Member also, Chairperson, requesting us to inform the committee about our progress with regard to installing cameras in jails. Chairperson and Honourable Members, I can safely inform the committee that we are at a very advanced stage right now as we speak, because we have done work with regard to obtaining opinions in this regard, also the Human Rights Commission, and the department has taken a principal decision that we will have cameras in cells, but it also needs to be ratified by our minister and the committee itself, so that we provide you with all of the scenarios in the case that the offenders would say that their privacy is not ensured. We will then be able to give you all of the answers. But importantly is the legal opinion, because at the end of the day, Chairperson and members, the safety of each and every offender needs to be taken into consideration and balanced with the privacy of other offenders, because others have lost their lives in our cells. Chairperson, the question that the Honourable Ron has asked about our recruitment plan, indicating primarily at Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, the understanding that I have with the operation here was that there are these people that have indicated they needed to accept their notices and would then be starting to work. We don't have what is the situation in KwaZulu-Natal. But what I can say is at some stage last week, Chairperson, when I was there, there was an indication that they were behind schedule with regard to the Operation HERA project, and would therefore be finalizing that. One is thinking that a number of the appointments would have started yesterday. We'll just provide the Chairperson with the final information on Operation HERA. And yes, consequences for non-compliant, especially senior managers. Chairperson, I need to inform the committee that 2016 is a year where we go to ensure consequence management for all levels of the department, starting for myself as well, where I'm not able to act on non-compliance, that action should be expected. But importantly is to ensure that in the performance agreement of all senior managers, regional commissioners, chief deputy commissioners, chief directors, we then have to ensure that there is compliance to the performance agreement and when necessary steps are taken for non-compliance, especially with regard to the areas that we are of the view that are areas that causes the department to be having forever a qualified audit opinion, especially with regard to finance and supply chain management and our performance information. The Honourable Maida Chairperson, what are the programs for learnership? I think Mr. Emmanuel Khoza will respond to that. What are the different programs that they are taken to? But what I can safely say is, Chairperson, all of the learners that have gone through the learnership and have been given a certificate of compliance, we have all absorbed, and it is our intention that not a single one of them should be lost to the industry. We would want to keep all of them, and I can commit that even as we speak now, all of those that have gone through that program have been taken in. What we do, Chairperson, once we don't have, if we don't have vacancies at entry level, we then appoint these learners whom we have trained ourselves as contract workers for a period of time, and then once a vacancy arises at every level, we then absorb them into those vacancies. So the same applies to our internship program. As vacancies arise, we encourage them to apply and they are even absorbed from that point. Chairperson, yes, I think it would be better to provide to the Honourable Committee a breakdown of what are the reasons for termination and what are the trends. Is it mainly in Eastern Cape, it's mainly in Gauteng. That would, I think, be better to provide us so that the committee can also take that into consideration. We agreed on the combined regions, Chairperson, and that is why the macro structure that the committee had requested us to provide was going to address this combined regions and indicate what the reorganization of the department is having in mind and how we are going to ensure that service delivery is improved, especially at those regions that have not been performing so well, in particular the LMN and the Free State Northern Cape. As I have said earlier to the chairperson and members, the final structure is with the minister, and we are confident that it will be approved soon, and once we have done that, we shall then provide that to the committee. Chairperson, from my side, I think lastly to talk on the implications of the 10x4 and what is the response of stakeholders, chairperson. The 10x4, as I've indicated, Mondays and Fridays, we have what we call a skeleton staff, and we are then not able to implement our own programs, our own structured-based program, and that inhibits us in ensuring that services are rendered to offenders. Our stakeholder, POPCU and PSA chairperson, are very much with us on this matter, and as I've said, significant work has been done. And soon there shall be a resolution that we sign, and then we will then be in a position to move forward with the department. Mr. Khoza, I think we will be able to address the overtime and the vacancy rate. But importantly, Chairperson, what the Member of Parliament is indicating to us is to have your own retention strategy. And that retention strategy, Chairperson, we need to look in the industry itself and maybe benchmark with other countries. How do we retain services of people that we say are correctional officials? And then how do we then, when salaries are negotiated, how do we take that forward? What is important in this industry sector is there should be room for promotion. And with the OSD currently, they are unable to move our people up and hence the frustration. Now, as a department, we have gone back to DPSA and have gone back to National Treasury to say, this is our challenge. Unless we do something about it, we are going to be losing these members in their numbers. And therefore, we need your assistance to maybe let us look at translation key of correctional services, in particular the OSD, and look at what was the intention of the OSD in the first place, so that we are then able to have four correctional officials, a system of recognition and a system of having career path and upward mobility. Retirement strategy for such a person, you will need that as part of your human resource plan so that you are able to do your own trend analysis and upfront where you have to advertise your advertised positions so that you are able to meet the demands that goes hand in hand with this kind of work. The outsourcing of security, we haven't thought about that, to be honest. And why we haven't thought about it is that our training is particularly aimed at equipping people and allowing them only to be working for correctional services, as there are no other correctional services except for the two private institutions. And then maybe that could be a way out of this, that maybe we need to look at how we can then insource or outsource. As I've mentioned, the macro structure, Chairperson, our officials are our most important asset, Chairperson, and their security. I can assure the committee that is one area that we take very seriously. What we are also looking at is, as we take them through the department's training programs, to also ensure that mature them, and we are able also to ensure their wellness. We encourage our staff to take part in sports. We have different sport clubs in the department, and from time to time we have these tournaments. But also importantly, we have an employee assistance program where officials are being provided with those programs by qualified social workers and psychologists. However, Chairperson, there is still a challenge because our department is mainly having men as officials, And this man, like myself, a person take a very long time to realize that you sometimes need psychological treatment when you are going through these different and difficult kinds of work. And therefore, we are causing that every time there are meetings, we have a psychologist or a social worker addressing them about abuse of alcohol, abuse of drugs, and also talking about family relationships, so that they are also able to realize that maybe I need help, let me then go and get that help. So that is one area that we struggle in Shepherds, in which I think we should take more to our staff. The last point that the Honourable Member raised with the institutions of higher learning, Shepherds, right across the country, we have this memorandum of understanding with most of the institutions. And Chairperson, I can also inform the committee that from time to time we have interns from these institutions of higher learning who come for their training at our experiential learning. And we have succeeded in recruiting quite a lot of them to come and work for us. There are those that have qualified, and Chairperson, as part of their training, they then are expected to come and do work in correctional facilities, work for a period of time. Departments are helping us, as well as the institutions of higher learning. In particular, where pharmacists are concerned and where social workers are concerned, most of the successes that we have at different areas is as a result of the understanding that we have with institutions of higher learning. Chairperson, safe to say, on the issues raised by Honorable Majake, Chairperson, yes, the Department of Health, Chairperson, and the two private institutions are having shift patterns that we would like to base ours on the 10x4. And I can safely say that at Mangaung and the Kutamas in Tumule, the 10x4 shift is working extremely well. What they have, which we don't have, is they have the numbers, the warm bodies. And that is why our 10x4 is based on the 10x4 at the two institutions, and also with regard to the Department of Health, as far as nurses are concerned. I can only say that, Chairperson, once we have increased our members, we shall then be in a position to implement this 10x4 shift right across the country. The Public Service Act, Mr. Koza will respond to, and the Correctional Services Act, and why we don't utilize one act. Chairperson, talking about the increasing vacancy rate, yes, I must say the last 2 years has been very difficult with mass resignation. We're working on that, and my aim going forward was to have dedicated teams that would, once we create an advert now, they devote all of their time to ensure that all of these adverts are then taken through and that we appoint. We have started that experiment with the SMS, the positions that we advertised last year. We had specific sessions which were chaired by our former CDC, Mr. Tebo Mokoena, and that is why we have appointed so many SMSs in the country. We are about to conclude that exercise, and we shall then provide to the chairperson and the members the success of having done that. And we think that should be the way going forward. Chairperson, the last, I think, let me allow colleagues, CFO, and then Mr. Koza to respond to the issues that are raised by honorable members of the committee. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, I will also try to respond to the issues as raised. The issue of learnership, what type of lesson of the program is that? It's a correctional services, correctional science learnership that is customized for the work that is done in correctional facility, and the types of the module that are provided is the one on Correctional Services Act, or one on policies as well as the legislative mandates like human rights, like the Constitution, and also the operations of the centers within the correctional facility. This is how the qualification goes, and it is also NQF level 5, which is above the grade 12. So also that will also align with the question which was asked: why do we have do we need a standard 10 for just a correctional official? Obviously, we have learned that our facilities also need a person that can that can be able to respond to issues academically also. So and also realizing that the type of the work that we do as correctional officials cannot just be done by any other person, because in fact for a correctional official, we normally say that you are a farmer, you are a person that owns a hotel, you are a teacher, an educator, you are a social worker, you do almost all everything while you're exposed to an offender within the unit. And at some stage when an official is here, you should be able to think very quick and look at how best you can be able to avail the necessary assistance, get the necessary social workers and nurses who can be able to assist in that situation. And obviously a lot of reading is also done in there. The challenges of Public Service Act and the Correctional Services Act, what is the issue then? In response that the Public Service Act that emanated from the OD Resolution 2 of 2000 that was signed from the PSCBC, that was aimed to have two spheres within correctional officers, because previously we had everyone as a correctional officer. So and with us also it was making very advantageous for us, because we could able to move officials within. But after the resolution, because of also the DPS was saying that we can't be a department that has got only one stream. As when we were approaching them in terms of the incentives, they said, no, what is the difference between an administrative person in head office as well as the design office, as well as the person who's sitting in room office across the street? So they insisted that we should be able to look at the possibility of dividing administrative personnel and security personnel. Hence, we end up with the Public Service Act. Then the Public Service Act also, the officer does not undergo correctional services learnership program. They only undergo a short course, which is more administrative. And in the case of Public Service Act, they are supposed to work only 40 hours a week, which is Monday to Friday. So obviously one element is that they are not trained to do security work. Then correctional services at appointments, the are fully trained in terms of that the correctional services that are indicated, they work 45 hours, and they are fully competent to be able to deal with the security circumstances. The impact of the budget on overtime, so what we can indicate is that the previous system where we were working only 40 hours per week and Saturday, Sunday was overtime payment, the budget there was very high to an extent that it was evaluated and decided that the payments that we are spending on personal compensation there, we can employ additional staff, and hence the overtime was run away. The challenges in filling of positions, we have in fact in most entry level positions is that you will always find a high volume of application on itself, which compels you to be able to dedicate more time, even if you make your plan to say, I will finalize this process within a month. Because of the high volume of applications that you receive, it compels you to extend the period that you are not planned for. The other aspect, the chairperson that I also wanted to bring to attention is our correctional services always, which also provides number of years that one has got to be in order to be in certain positions. It compels you to look within, not outside. And for you to have improved the vacancy rate, you must be able to recruit from outside. Now, in our case, if we have a level 8 position to advertise, the PMCs will require correctional services experience of 4 years. You hardly find people from external. You will have to get from within. You will move a person who's on level 7 or level 6 to level 8. And that is your vacancy rate is not moving. So up until we finalize the issue of the OSDs and the center base, that is still going to be a problem for us. The other aspect on the challenge is the feeling of vacancies is a competency of HR. But in our environment, you can't able to fill correction positions which are co-business without telling the core people within the panel. And seeing that that is also not their key competence or key responsibility, you will find that they are not available and busy with other activities. But in most cases, we ensure that we develop a plan to be able to be available. But that in the past was a problem because they dedicated their time to their core business, which is the rehabilitation and care of offenders. So alluding to the signing of memorandums with the learning of institution of learning, I can indicate that we have signed memorandums with various institutions of learning to be able to have the stress case. I think we also signed with 20 technology as well as University of KwaZulu-Natal. The other method that we utilize is that we had received the community service accreditation from the Department of where we receive pharmacists, psychologists, as well as social workers that does community service. And after their community service, we can able to absorb them into our positions. The dismissals on level 8 and level 8 and resignation. On dismissals, the observations that with regards to the level 8 are measures at the facilities, and in most cases at center level as well as in the management area level. So wherever they have not complied, we have started to institute consequence management. Most of them is due to non-compliance. And the resignations, as we can indicate that most of you that are on level 8 are members that have got the most years of service. So what we also learned is that before the, on the month of their retirement, they run away from pension payout monthly. They decided that they would take the lump sum. They resign at the particular month of retirement. So hence we have that challenge of people resigning at level 8. That's all for us.
Thank you very much, CFO. Do you have anything to add? Nothing. Okay. Thank you, Commissioner and the team. When it comes to the shift, that 12-hour shift is something that I'm personally worried about. Because remember we talked about the employee well-being. Because you look at this and you wonder what happens to these people when they actually knock off at 12 midnight. Do they all have cars? Where do they live? Aren't you creating a system that becomes impossible for our workers? And like I said, let's look at other systems, shift systems, like in the nursing fraternity. How they do it, and I know they don't have something like a 12 midnight shift. They have shifts that actually says you will work overnight. It helps because our people travel in taxis, in buses, so let's not create a system that makes it almost impossible for them to operate. And for women, it then means that this shift is excluding women, because which woman is going to feel safe unless they've got a car to work off at 12 o'clock midnight and go home at 12 o'clock midnight. But what I'm trying to suggest is that look at the system and compare it with other systems that exist in the country, because in other areas they are using the shift system, and we from far we think that the system is actually working for them. You talked about not being in the position to retain doctors because the salaries of doctors are low. At what level are they appointed? And do you ever consult with the union for doctors? Is it summer? I think you need to actually start engaging in summer to try and sort out the problem. At what level are they employed?
Person, let me clarify the issue of the shift that started that ends at 12. It was just an example of in our shift that we've been working throughout. Previously, when we had dog shift, we were providing transport for them to be able to go home. Some of them, they were staying behind. We had the facilities for them to sleep home. But the other alternative is the shift system. It's 2:10, starting at 2 in the afternoon up until 10 o'clock in the evening, starting from 10 up until 6 in the morning, and starting from 6 up until 2 in the afternoon. And it goes on like that. So, but we are taking also the advice from the current chairperson. The issue of the doctors, we are paying them. I also need to also clarify that all the professionals are paid in terms of the relevant OSE that the, all public service departments are paying them. So the doctors are appointed at the deputy director level, which is salary level 11. So, and it also goes back with the relevant OSD, the years of experience that they are in the field. Thank you.
And thank you very much. And you do work with the union for Dr. Summer. I guess we are at the end of the discussion. We can take a tea break and then continue business afterwards. Thank you, Deputy Patin.
I thought that you released them, and then we have our tea break, and then continue with the incision. Oh, okay. I misunderstood. I apologize.
This is just tea break in terms of the agenda that is before us.